I'd like to call this meeting of the State Senate, the Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it's 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday, February 28th. Present today are Senators Wilikowski, Senator Merrick, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Chair Kawasaki. Before we start, please silence your cell phones. I want to remind members and testifiers that all questions and comments must be directed through the chair. And before testifying, please clearly state your name, title, your affiliation for the record. With us today is from Senate Records is Carrie Cooperrider. We have Doug Bridges, our moderator with the Legislative Information Office. And the purpose of today's meeting is to hear several bills. We have two bills, Senate Bill 12 regarding address confidentiality programs by Senator Keel. We have Senate Bill 22 to proclaim Juneteenth a holiday by Senator L.B. Gray Jackson. We have Senate Bill 30 in its first hearing with Senator Gray Jackson again on Filipino American History Month, and Senate Joint Resolution 6 honoring the Alaska-Korea relationship with Senator Tobin. And with the will of the committee, we'll move out Senate Bill 12 and 22 this afternoon. Okay, so first, script change. We have, we have first, we'll take up Senate Bill 12. This is sponsored by Senator Keel regarding address confidentiality programs. We will have public testimony, and we will look to the will of the committee. First, we have the members have a draft substitute, committee substitute for Senate Bill 12 in your packet. May I have a motion to adopt the committee substitute as the working document, Senator Merrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to adopt the committee substitute for SB 12, Work Order 33-LS0162-S as our working document.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. We have before us the person who's sponsoring the bill, Senator Keel, and his staff. Would you like to present the changes in the new committee substitute?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, I am Jesse Keel, Senator for District B. With me is Ella Adkison in my office. After the initial hearing and some excellent questions and bill work by members of the committee, we had the privilege of working both with advocates and with your office, Mr. Chairman, to prepare this committee substitute. It shortens the bill, clarifies it, and takes out some irrelevancies. For a more direct summary of the changes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask my staff to go through the adjustments in the bill.
Great. And your name for the record, please.
For the record, my name is Ella Adkison, staff to Senator Keel. Changes are as follows. Sections 1 through 4 were deleted because after talking with the court system, residents' addresses and peace and correctional officers are never required. Peace and correctional officers also have the option of giving their work address instead of their personal should they need to. Section 6C3 was deleted as Title 13 protective orders are for purposes of financial protection and do not align with the purpose of the program. And finally, the last change is the definition of household member was amended to clarify that eligible household members live at the same residence as an individual enrolled in the program.
Super. Are there questions for Ms. Adkison? Okay. Seeing no questions, I'll go ahead and remove my objection. Are there any further objections to adopting the committee substitute for Senate Bill 12? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we are now on the S version as our working document. Let's see. It looks like we do have a couple of people here, so I'll reopen public testimony. I'm not sure if they're actually going to testify or not. So we'll open public testimony. Looks like there are currently two people in the queue that perhaps are going to provide testimony. We have Allie Petershore, who's off net, but calling in from Juneau.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you. For the record, I'm Allie Petershore and privileged to be the Acting Director of the Division of Shared Services with the Department of Administration. And I don't have any testimony to give today. I'm just on the line in case there's any questions or information I can provide.
Thank you, Ms. Petershore. Are there any questions for the Director of Shared Services? Okay. Seeing and hearing none, you're off the hook. Thank you very much for being here. We have one more person that is online. That's Lori Morton from the Alaska Network on Sexual and Domestic Violence, Sexual Assault. Sorry, in Juneau. Oh, in here, in the room, for testimony. Welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Lori Morton. I'm the Advocacy Initiatives Director of the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. We're the membership organization of the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Victim Service Programs across the state, and are appreciative of the Senator introducing this legislation and each of you hearing it and being willing to move it forward in the process. It is so important in those few situations where keeping an address absolutely confidential that this ability of a person to enter into the program and be able to have that reassurance is going to be life-saving. That would be the opportunity when you would need to have this program. We're hopeful as it moves through the process that there's consideration of ways in which victims may be able to enter the program, maybe in addition to the protective order process, but we are confident that this is a great start and appreciate your support. I'd be happy to answer questions.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Morton. Are there any questions for Ms. Morton regarding Senate Bill 12? All right. Hearing and seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. Let's see. So it doesn't look like there's any more questions or folks online at this point. Are there any folks in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 12 this afternoon? Hearing and seeing none, we'll close public testimony. And we will, I'd entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pardon me. Can we have a brief at ease?
We're back on the record. If I can have a motion. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move CS for Senate Bill 12, Work Order 33-LS0162/S, be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Great. Are there any objections to the motion? There being no objections, the State Affairs Committee substitute for Senate Bill 12, Work Order 33-LS0162/S is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal notes. With that, we'll have a brief adjournment to sign the committee reports. Okay, next we will take up Senate Bill 22. We're going a little bit out of order. This one is sponsored by Senator Elvin Gray Jackson to proclaim Juneteenth a holiday. We will hold public testimony after the Senator briefs us on the bill and look to the will of the committee. Senator Gray Jackson, welcome again to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Senator Gray Jackson here with my chief of staff, Bessie Odom. And I want to thank you so much for hearing my bill a second time and doing it in such a timely manner. Today, is a week ago that the Anchorage Assembly approved making Juneteenth a paid municipal holiday. And I'm finding out on a daily basis of different communities throughout the state that are doing the same. I also found out that IBEW Local 1547 employees now have Juneteenth off as a paid holiday. And it's not about having a paid holiday off. It's about the significance of January 19, 1865. That's what it's about, Mr. Chairman. And I so very much look forward to the state of Alaska doing the same thing and passing this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Let's see, are there any questions for the Senator at this point before we open it up to public testimony? We'll go ahead and first, there's no public testimony. Nobody online for public testimony at this time. I guess, is there a question, Senator Merrick?
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. Senator Gray Jackson, thank you for being here. My question is regarding the fiscal note. It looks like there's been a revision, and I was hoping you could give us some details on that.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Merrick, since I didn't draft the fiscal note, I think it might be a good idea to have somebody from the Office of OMB talk about the fiscal note.
Senator Merrick.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I did review it.
Do we have someone from OMB?
But
well, I will certainly be seeing this bill in another committee, so I can get further explanation for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Merrick.
Okay. We'll go ahead and open it up to public testimony. I don't see anybody online, but we're now open for public testimony. Is there anybody that'd like to testify on Senate Bill 22 at this time in the room or online? Okay. We'll close public testimony back up. Look to the will of the committee. Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move for Senate Bill 22-33-LS0229-A to be reported out of committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Are there any objections? Seeing and hearing none, Senate Bill 22, that is 33-LS0229-A, is reported out of committee with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal note. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Okay. Let's see. We now have before us once again Senator Gray Jackson and staff Betsy Odom. We have Senate Bill 33. If you'd like to state your name and affiliation for the record.
Senator L.V. Gray Jackson, thank you, Chairman Kawasaki and members of the committee. I'd also like to recognize Bessie Odom. She's my chief of staff. And I want to start out by saying, Mr. Chairman, when I served on the Anchorage Assembly for 9 years, it was really, really important for me to recognize our culturally diverse communities. And I did. Every year, there was a resolution recognizing each culturally diverse community in Anchorage. And what I decided was, when I got elected to the Senate, that I wouldn't do just a resolution. I would do bills to recognize our culturally diverse communities so that it would be in state statutes and there in perpetuity. And I was successful and thankful to all those that supported making Black History Month and state statutes during my first session, and also Alaska Native Heritage Month. And so now I present to you a sponsor statement for Senate Bill 30. Senate Bill 30 celebrates the contributions of Filipino Americans in Alaska by recognizing October as Filipino American History Month in state statute. Since 1788, Filipinos have had a presence on land now known as Alaska. From seasonal migrant cannery workers to healthcare workers and political leaders, Filipino Americans are part of the fabric of Alaska's diverse history. As the largest Asian American Pacific Islander group and immigrant community in the state, Filipino Americans have contributed to Alaska's communities, economy, government, and culture. With this legislation, we hope to join in solidarity to honor and appreciate the impact of Filipino Americans to the state of Alaska. Mr. Chairman, the sectional analysis is just one sentence, so I really don't think it's necessary for us to read it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. Are there any questions of Senator Gray Jackson or Ms. Odom at this time? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and open it up to public testimony. Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify on Senate Bill 30? And is there anybody online who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 30? Okay. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony, although we may reopen it when the bill comes before skin. And is there any other committee discussion on Senate Bill 30 before we set this bill aside? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and set Senate Bill 30 aside and have a brief idea so that we can switch presenters. Go ahead and call the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We now have Senate Joint Resolution Number 6, sponsored by Senator Lukey Tobin. Senator Tobin is here along with staff, Mr. Mike Mason, to present the joint resolution. Welcome to the committee. If you'd state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you, Chairman Kawasaki. My name is Senator Lukey Gail Tobin. I have the privilege of representing the downtown Anchorage community, Jay Bear, Government Hill, and parts of Northeast Muldoon and North Star. I'm here today to present with you Senate Joint Resolution 6, which recognizes the Alaska-Korea relationship. In the 32nd legislature, my predecessor worked with former Representative Tarr on a bill to rename a bridge in Mountain View after a constituent who was Korean American. Through this work, we were connected to the Korean consulate in Anchorage, and the idea of this relationship came forth. If it pleases the committee, I will do a brief introduction of the bill, and then if we would like to have someone read the entire resolution, I have my teammate here, Mike Mason, who would be happy to do so.
So before we do that, we are going to adopt a draft committee substitute. We have a draft committee substitute version U in folks' binders. And if Senator Merrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to adopt the committee substitute for SJR 6, Work Order 33-LS0284/U as our working document.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion. If you want to just continue on with the work draft version U of the bill.
Mike Mason, staff to Senator Lukey Tobin. Just to address the committee substitute, the new CS fixes an error in the tourism numbers on page 2, lines 14 and 15. Through an error in drafting the resolution, the numbers were off by a factor of 10, which was not, that's a big factor. So the new numbers are 2 million and 1 million respectively. One of the questions we've received is, you see in the resolution, it says that the Korea-Alaska Friendship Day is celebrated on June 20. But the most recent one was on June 25, and I just wanted to clear up why. So the first Korea-Alaska Friendship Day was declared on June 20, 2008 by then-Governor Palin. As the day is not a set holiday, but instead a yearly proclamation, the date has moved around somewhat to reflect the days of the week. So we decided to honor the date of the first Alaska-Korean Friendship Resolution. So those are the changes in the CS.
Okay, very good. I will remove my objection to adopting the work order or the committee substitute. Are there any other objections? Okay, seeing and hearing none, if you want to go ahead and start with the work draft.
you. Once again, for the record, Lukey Gail Tobin, Senator for District I. So Senate Joint Resolution 6 seeks to honor and celebrate the friendly and beneficial relationship between the United States and the Republic of Korea and the unique role that Alaska has in that relationship. So here's a little history for you. In 1954, the Korean Armistice Agreement ended hostilities on the Korean Peninsula. It was signed by the United States of America and the Republic of Korea. Since then, the two countries have developed a strong economic and cultural relationship. SJR 6 recognizes the ongoing global, comprehensive, strategic alliance between the U.S. and the Republic of Korea, which has greatly benefited Alaska through billions of dollars worth of trade and tourism. Here's some really fun things to know. The Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport is a growing hub for air cargo to and from the Republic of Korea. And every year, thousands of Korean tourists visit Alaska. Both in Anchorage and South Korea have been, these communities in Anchorage and South Korea have been sister cities since 1986, and thousands of Korean Americans call Alaska home. So in 2023, it's the 70th anniversary of the Korean Armistice Agreement and the signing of the Mutual Defense Treaty between the U.S. and the Republic of Korea. 2023 also marks the 120th anniversary of the first immigration of Koreans to the United States. In the 70 years since the establishment of diplomatic relations between the Republic of Korea and the United States, the two countries have developed very strong and lasting ties, and these should be celebrated. In the time of rising tensions and global strife, it's important to acknowledge the friends and allies of both the United States and Alaska. So with that, Mr. Chair, we were supposed to have the consulate. He is on the line, so we have the consul, Sung Min Sang, consul and head of the consulate of the Republic of Korea in Anchorage, to provide some invited testimony at your pleasure.
Excellent. Don't think he's popping up on the screen quite yet.
Hello?
Oh, excellent. We have with us Sung Min Sang, the consul and head of consulate for the Republic of Korea located in Anchorage. Welcome to the Senate State Affairs. If you just say your name and your affiliation for the record. There you are, popped up now. Welcome.
My name is Sung Min Sang.
Yes, welcome to the committee, sir.
I'm providing a testimony in the State Affairs Committee.
Yep, go ahead. You're online. We can hear you just fine.
지금 하는 거야? 아니, 이거 하는 거야? 테스트는 하는 거야? Honorable Chair, Senator Scott Kawasaki, and honorable members of the State Affairs Committee, Alaska State Senate. My name is Sung Min Sang. I'm consul and head of the Consulate of the Republic of Korea in Anchorage. Thank you for having me for the testimony of Resolution SJR number 6, honoring the Alaska-Korea relationship. I'm very honored and humbled by speaking in front of Honorable Alaska State Senate. I would like to speak briefly on Korea-US and Korea-Alaska relationship. Firstly, I would like to highlight that this year marks the 70th anniversary of Mutual Defense Treaty between the United States and Korea, the 70th anniversary of Korean Armistice Agreement, and the 120th anniversary of first Korean immigration to the United States. Korea-US relations began 141 years ago with the Treaty of Peace, Amity, Commerce, and Navigation in 1882. When Korea was a dynasty called Joseon. For Korea, United States was the first Western country Korea established diplomatic relations. The Korea-US alliance is the bedrock of today's Korea-US relationship. It was forged in blood right after the Korean War ended with a ceasefire agreement in 1953. Where Koreans and Americans fought together for freedom and democracy against the communist invasion in 1950. 1.8 million U.S. troops were engaged in the war, and over 36,000 Americans died during the war. Today, a lot of people call the Korean War a forgotten war, but we can't and won't forget the war. Our government and people have been commemorating the war every year, appreciating for the veterans' sacrifices and dedication. The Korean War is the very starting point of Korea-U.S. alliance, and the Korean War is the very unique background against the bilateral alliance. And then the Korea-U.S. alliance has become not only the foundation of Korea's defense and security, but also the cornerstone of its rapid economic growth and stable democracy. Only a half century after the Korea-U.S. alliance signed, Korea has transformed from an aid recipient to an aid giver for the first time in history. I think this is something showing that the Korea-U.S. alliance is one of the most successful alliances in history. Korea-U.S. economic relations have been upgraded by the Free Trade Agreement, which entered into force in 2012 and celebrated its 10th anniversary last year. Bilateral trade for the past 10 years has expanded about 70%, and the mutual investment more than doubled during the same period, contributing considerably to economies of each country. Korea and the U.S. have also been developing a steadfast partnership anchored in shared values and interests. As agreed at the Korea-U.S. summit in May 2022, our two countries are today collaborating to achieve our shared goal of transforming the bilateral alliance into a global comprehensive strategic alliance capable of addressing the most pressing regional and global challenges. Korea is actively participating in U.S.-led initiatives such as IPEF, Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, and Core Minerals Partnership, things like that. Korea-Alaska relationship has also made great progress in lockstep with the development of the Korea-U.S. relations. Korean air cargo carriers have been operating at the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport, contributing to keeping the airport functioning as a world air cargo hub. Each year, Korean Air Force participates in Exercise Red Flag Alaska, a joint air combat training exercise held by the U.S. Air Force. The two Korean Navy ships arrived in Anchorage for the first time in history, 2021. Local governments and assemblies in both countries have had sisterhood relationships for more than 30 years. Also, University of Alaska and some Korean universities, such as Ina University and Gyeonggi University, have also cooperative relations. Last but not least, 7,000 Koreans and Korean Americans live in Alaska, enriching Alaska's history and culture. They are serving at various corners of Alaska as military personnel, police officers, firefighters, nurses, doctors, business owners, public servants, etc., contributing their talents to Alaska's safety, diversity, and prosperity. A glaring example was Miss Emma Boyce, a Korean-American who became Alaska's first Miss America last year and made Alaska's name widely known. Another shining example was Miss Insuk Baek. I mean, a bridge in Mountain View area was named after Miss Insuk Baek, recognizing her voluntary activities for local people for more than 20 years. Taking all these things into consideration, I have the honor to urge Honorable Chair and Honorable Members of the Committee to adopt the resolution. The resolution will be very honorable and symbolic to acknowledge our longstanding and very special bilateral relationship. And also, it will be very helpful to further promote bilateral relationship in the future. Thank you very much for your listening.
Great. Thank you, Consul Tsang. Are there any questions for the consul? Thank you very much again for being able to be here with the Senate State Affairs Committee. And kamsahamnida.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's see. We'll keep public testimony open. Is there anybody else you'd like to testify either in the room or online? Doesn't look like it. Okay. We're going to close public testimony. We will, I guess at this time, is there any other comment you'd like to make, Senator Tobin?
For the record, this is Lukey Tobin, Senator for Senate District I. I have no further comments. However, we really appreciate your listening to this resolution, and we urge your swift passage.
Great. Thank you. We'll go ahead at this point and set Senate Joint Resolution 6 aside. Okay, we're setting Senate Bill 6 aside. Senate Joint Resolution 6 is being set aside. Now, I don't know what page I'm on. I guess, let's see. Okay, so we're coming to the end of the meeting. We will not hold a meeting on Tuesday, March 7th. We will be holding a meeting on Thursday, March 9th with the division director from the Division of Elections, Carol Beecher. And we will also take up a bill at that point in time. And thank you, Senator Klayman, for joining us right now. At this time, at 4:04, I'll adjourn the meeting of the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting.